Welcome everyone to Shots Fired with Deanna Lorraine. I'm your host, Deanna Lorraine. Going over all the latest breaking news, trending topics, and truth bombs that you can't get anywhere else. Go ahead and follow me on social media, especially Gab, Telegram, Truth Social, and Getter at Real Deanna Lorraine, and on X for all the latest and controversial posts, Deanna for Congress. Remember, my show is twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, right after the Stu Peters Show. And it is 8 p.m. right now on Tuesday night, so grab that cocktail or mocktail, glass of water, glass of wine, whatever you do to unwind, and hang out with me for the next hour as we go over the top news of the day.
Well, first, all fish oil are not created equal. They could be purified of mercury, but many times you don't know their storage temperature, their storage life, and the pressure they're under. So you can get a little rancidity, a spoilage of those fish oil. And it's not just fish oil. This is really important. So I want to teach you something here in the audience. This is important because 100% of the people we've tested for 15 years have been deficient. Here's why. If you'll pull up your bottle right there, I want you to look at both, first of all, the serving size. How many gel caps per serving is it recommending?
It says 2 soft gels per serving.
Okay, now look down into the ingredients, and you're going to find 2 specific essential amino acids, or fatty acids, that are going to be called EPA, eicosapentaenoic acid, and DHA. So you're going to look at the milligrams on those. How much are the milligrams?
EPA is 360 milligrams and DHA is 240 milligrams.
Okay, so you're looking at a 600 milligram total EPA and DHA for 2 capsules, right?
Yes.
Okay, people out there getting their calculators out.
Yeah,
really?
Exactly.
Okay, so here's what you need to know. To get adequacy, in other words, enough into your system to get your omega index, which is the percent of those essential omega-3s in the blood, up to 8% to 10%, you need 3,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA in about a 3-to-2 ratio. Now, that is correct in a 3-to-2 ratio. So if you're talking 2 gel caps, get you 600. Want to do the quick math? How many gel caps?
I need to pull out my calculator.
You got to take 10 of those.
A day.
10 of those a day.
Oh, my. That's a lot.
Yeah, and so it's not really a bargain when you look at it.
No.
It's actually, it's deceiving. And I watch people do this all the time, and they get the wrong one because they know they need fish oil, which is true. But what you need is a sufficiency of the certain essential ones at a ratio that is pleasing to the body. Because we're trying to get the ratio of our 6-to-3s, omega-6 to omega-3s in the body, up to a good workable one, which is about 3-to-1 or 4-to-1. And so you got to take 10 of those right there a day to get to adequacy at minimum. Sometimes, in your case, it could be even 12.
Hey, guys. Well, you all know how much I love dogs, and especially how much I love my beautiful princess, but very picky pug, Layla. And you know how much I want to just take care of her and have her living her best and most fulfilling, healthiest life. Well, I discovered Nature's Blend Essential Wellness for Dogs. This is the advanced all-natural solution for your dog's health. And she loves it. She's very picky, but somehow she loves this one. Their freeze-dried formula provides maximum nutritional content in every meal for your furry friend. And it's also so easy to prepare. You just add water and watch as your dog enjoys a nutritious feast in minutes. It's crafted by renowned veteran Dr. Marty. Nature's Blend combines premium quality raw meat with hand-selected fruits and veggies. Thousands of happy dog parents give their dogs the gift of vitality while their dogs' tails are wagging. Trying Nature's Blend, by the way, is risk-free with their 100% money-back guarantee. That's right. They have a 100% money-back guarantee. So I want you, if you love your furry friend, check these people out. It's an incredible company. Go to DeannaLovesDogs.com for more info and get your dog's tail wagging. Again, that's DeannaLovesDogs.com, D-E-A-N-N-A, LovesDogs.com, and let me know how it works out. Give your dog the gift of vitality.
Welcome back to Shots Fired. Well, we all know from the beginning that Biden's campaign has been one big fake psyop of a campaign. I'm not even convinced he's real at this point. I'm not even sure if he's human at this point. Maybe he's a CGI. Maybe he's a clone. I really have no idea, but I need some signs of life. But what's even more disturbing now is that the mainstream media, CNN, and all the rest are now saying he should also be abandoning his campaign. It's become apparent that this is a suicide mission for Biden. Not only is it disaster, it's embarrassing, it's cringe, it's actually pretty pathetic to watch, but it's a suicide mission. And when we see people and talking heads from CNN, MSNBC, Jimmy Kimmel, and all the mainstream media and liberals saying that he needs to get out of the race, there's a big problem here. There's a big problem, and I don't even know what to expect or what they're planning moving forward. Now, obviously, I could be having somebody on who's been rah, 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 pro-Trump the whole time. That would be easy. Or somebody who's been rah, 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 pro-Biden the whole time. That would, well, nobody really wants to come on my show who's been pro-Biden the whole time. But I've got Chris Nelson on. Chris Nelson has been one of the biggest Trump supporters from the very beginning, just like myself. And then he pivoted over to Governor DeSantis in Florida for a while, and he was pro DeSantis. And now I'm kind of curious, because this leaves us with a huge demographic. People love to discredit them, but it's a huge demographic, a huge percentage of our voting population who are sort of wondering, what do they do now? Because they were pro Trump, then they were pro DeSantis, and now they really don't know what to do because DeSantis is out of the race and we just have Trump and a decrepit old corpse in, you know, running, and we don't know what to do. And I want to talk to Chris Nelson of Florida, who's also, by the way, running for mayor of Fort Lauderdale, which I'm in right now. I want to talk to him about what his opinions are and his predictions are, what's happening with the suicide mission of Biden ever since the debates, especially. What does he think is going to happen with Trump? And what do we have to look forward to from this point forward? So, Chris Nelson, welcome back to Shots Fired. How are you?
Hey, Deanna, it's great to be back on. And you're in Fort Lauderdale right now?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale right now, actually.
Well, why aren't we in a studio? We could have met up and been in a studio. Hey, are you a resident?
Technically, yes, I am a resident.
All
I'm
right,
a resident.
You can vote for me.
I will
you vote
for you.
Vote for me for mayor. All right.
My brother is awesome. Too. My dad is too. I've got some family here in Fort Lauderdale,
right,
which is where I'm visiting.
Well, I'm talking to constituents right now, and
you're talking to constituents.
Vote for me for mayor, ChrisNelsonForMayor.com. But
my first question is this. Yeah, what do you think? And then we're gonna obviously get into the nitty gritty details. But since this disaster of a debate a couple weeks ago, I mean, what do you think? First of all, like what was your first initial opinion when you were watching this train wreck of that was called the debate with Biden versus Trump?
Donald Trump, I think his biggest fear is that he'll actually have to debate somebody with an actual pulse.
With the brain,
heartbeat,
yeah.
Or brain waves actually going on. I don't think Donald Trump will debate anybody under 80. So anybody standing next to Joe Biden would have been the winner. And of course, we know that we were deprived the debate that we deserved, which was between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis in the primary.
So Donald Trump could answer for
the things he did during COVID. Well, yeah, and this is important because it's a very bad place for the party to be in. Even if you are a Trump supporter, you should want him to have to answer for things he did wrong in his first term, like the entire response to COVID, his ridiculous overspending, the fact that he didn't come through on any of his promises. So he'll do that again. It's not to tear the man down. We get this whole idea that, oh, well, you're just trying to tear the man down. No, we want to make sure that if he's in office again, that he does what he says he's going to do. But unfortunately, our party has really become a bunch of yes men that just go along with whatever Trump's whims are at the time. When
and we rationalize it and justify it. And then we get surprised why he fails us, right? Why he doesn't follow through with our promises. But we bend ourselves in a pretzel saying it's 500D chess. Well, you got to hold people accountable if you want your promises fulfilled.
Well, right. And we're not supposed to be treating politicians like celebrities or religious leaders and like whatever you say, like you're the prophet, whatever you say, or prophets or apostles. No, they're politicians. So we get into murky water when you're told you're being disloyal for, you know, trying to point your guy in the right direction. Which thank God, Ron DeSantis, and I never stopped being a Ron DeSantis fan. I am to this day. If he was the nominee, I'd be supporting him 100%. But you saw that they were going to exclude him from being on that stage at the Republican National Convention. Well, no, they are. No, they ain't. So the next day after all that, and of course, they're having some questionable people on stage for this convention, which it's like. You have to ask, you know, I'm not being the morals police, but like, what have so-and-so done for the party? You know, why are they on stage? Are they on stage because they're an influencer and they realize that a way to get themselves more views was to put on a MAGA hat? And are we ceding time to influencers? Because there is a place for influencers. I mean, Trump's very good. I think the Logan Paul interview was a brilliant move on Trump's behalf. You know, when do we stop and say, hey, look, we're not going to let this convention become like basically what Obama joked about at the press club dinner with Trump, that are we going to turn the White House into Trump Tower? But like, are we going to let people come on stage that really haven't done anything for the Republican Party? But now we see that Ron DeSantis is going to be on stage. And, you know, we need really... strong dialogue we need very strong debates about this stuff. And even if Trump becomes president, which if you just look at the ground game right now, I don't think they're going to switch out Biden. I really don't.
Really?
I never did. Maybe I thought about it, but you know, if things go the way they are and Trump becomes president again, that's only the beginning of it. Who's going to hold them accountable to do the things that we want him to do? Because as of now, the party's just like, well, whatever the guy wants is fine. And that's not good. So we do have a third option, Deanna, in this election, and that's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And especially when you look at the Republican Party, because they're basically making their platform in the image of a candidate, which is something I've never seen before. Usually you have a platform of the party and the candidate kind of molds themselves to that platform. But for the first time, we've got a party that has actually the candidate's family members running it and kind of molding it in the image of one man and his whims, which... I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis. If it was Ron DeSantis, that's a bad idea to completely mold your party's image around the whims of one man, because you have pro-lifers that were getting on my case for supporting RFK Jr. So it's like, hold on a second. The party seems to be very quick. And this is what I warned about, Deanna, and other people like myself warned about, that the party will start going away from pro-life values, will start moving away from the gun issue, okay? We know Trump is not a 2A guy, okay? He might get the National Rifle Association's nod of approval, but he's not. So they've actually softened on guns. And you see people just going along with this. Well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has signed an agreement that he's not going to go after the Second Amendment. And the difference between Donald Trump and RFK Jr. is I believe that RFK Jr. actually has a conscience and will do what he says he's going to do. So I think that if you are in the pro-life realm and in the pro-2A realm, that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the candidate who has taken a much stronger stance on those two issues. I've said this all along. So that's why I am wholeheartedly supporting Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and will vote for him in November.
Okay. And what do you think about the fact that he just, again, he was excluded from the debate, just like DeSantis was? I mean, he was excluded from the debate. He is still a candidate. So, you know, we don't get to see this other side, especially when it comes to the topic of the vaccines and the COVID response, and not just the COVID vaccines, but the vaccines from, you know, childhood vaccines. And to me, I loathe the fact that everybody said, oh, what a great performance Trump did at the debate. Okay, well, you debate a vegetable, anyone's going to look good compared to a vegetable.
Oh, fellas, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare, we're trying to provide housing for Black Americans, the impact of on the choice, the idea that they're going to, I'm proposing that everybody, they pay, the millionaires pay 1%. So no one after, I would not raise the cost of Social Security for anybody. I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And wants to get away with, get rid of the ability of Medicare for us to be able to negotiate drug prices with the big pharma companies. What I'm going to do is fix the tax system. For example, we have 1,000 trillionaires in America. I mean, billionaires in America. No one was hurt. No one Israeli was accidentally killed, and it just stopped. And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
Not that Trump didn't do good. He did do good. There were some good things he said. But at the same time, I wanted to see him really go head to head with someone who truly was challenging to him, like RFK Jr., like DeSantis, and who honestly had better policies for the vaccine and for COVID, like both of them did. And to be up on a big stage where the two of them would be debating him and really question him about his vaccine response and is about his, you know, the greatest invention of mankind and all the things he's said about masks and COVID and the vaccine. I mean, that would be something that everybody, Trump supporters or not, should hear, and we deserve answers to. And it bothers me that he just sort of, again, slithered away from being held accountable in this respect. We still have never gotten to see it. So why are we throwing our full support, our full donation money again, to somebody who has still not answered these very, very important questions? What's going to change, you know?
Well, Deanna, he actually has answered these questions, and he's been very
clear
about it.
Yeah, you're right.
Going back to when we were, when my wife and I started the Fire Fauci chant, when His Majesty made us wait for him for 3.5 hours. It's funny, they're going like, he made people wait for him for an hour at the Doral rally. And I'm like, last night, and I'm like, I wasn't going to go to that thing. I've heard his act over and over again. It's nothing new to me or interesting. But, you know, he only made them wait an hour. He made us wait 3.5 hours. He didn't show up. I think he was scheduled to appear at 10. He didn't show up till after 1 a.m. And we started a Fire Fauci chant. And he yelled at us. He goes, I'll do that after the election. We'll do that after the election. And that's how he's been. When he did the tour with O'Reilly, it was the boomer tour, you know, of like, these people, they're like, they're people that, you know, they were, they've been in charge since my dad was my age, like Hannity, like O'Reilly, Trump. I mean, isn't it time for these like old guys to like kind of get out of the way and like ride off into the sunset, Biden included. I mean,
look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And well, by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie. That he's a 6 handicap of all.
I was an 8 handicap.
Yeah.
8. Yeah, but I have, you know, I mean,
I've seen your swing. I know your swing. Let's not act like children.
These people have been, figures my entire life, and I'm middle aged now, and they're still clinging to power. But, Trump told the people that were on his O'Reilly tour when he was telling everybody, take the vaccine, take it. And people booed him, and he was like, oh, shut up. Shot. You know, he basically.
Yeah.
And he said multiple times.
I know a lot of Trump supporters who took the shots because he promoted them.
Yeah.
And said they were safe.
Yeah. You know? And he tells them that he did everything right during COVID. He's never he's never said anything otherwise. His vaccine saved hundreds of millions of lives. But it's interesting, Deanna, because if you ask any hardcore Trump supporter, what assurance do you have that he won't shut the country down over like bird flu or something? And they go, oh, come on, he'll never shut it down. And I go, show me where he said he won't. And they go, yes, he did say that. And then I'm like, well, can you give me the exact quote? And by then it's usually they're coming back at me with profanity, middle fingers and accusations, ad hominem attacks. But the bottom line is we have not gotten any reassurance from Trump that he would not shut the country down again, and that in another alleged pandemic that he would not do the exact same thing over again, that we wouldn't get Operation Warp Speed 2.0. And I mean, this is basic stuff here. I mean, this is like, this is not asking for a whole lot, just basically, would you do this again? And he has not. He has not said even that he wouldn't do it again. Ron DeSantis apologized to actually some friends of mine that had their gym shut down by the Broward government down here a few times for what they went through. And he made the absolute 180. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I mean, I learned a lot about what was going on with Dr. Fauci with the alleged pandemic and all this stuff by reading his books and listening to him. So, I mean, with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I know for a fact we're not going to get that same outcome again, as my wife and I, our businesses cannot handle it. I don't know about these laptop class people, but we can't handle that again. That's why I'm very opposed to Trump and very pro RFK Jr. How about we where is in the Republican Party platform, Deanna? I mean, I know we've got lightening up on pro-life, lightening up on gay marriage, lightening up on the social issues, debate that as you want. But where in the Republican Party platform is we're never going to shut the country down again under the false pretenses of an alleged global pandemic? And we're not going to violate constitutional rights like we did
That's
in 2020.
That
should be number one or number two, right on that list. Where is talk of the Constitution? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to uphold the Constitution, regardless of his personal beliefs. So I think more than ever, people are very sick of this two-party system. And, especially with Trump and Trump's GOP abandoning the abortion, abandoning guns, abandoning those social issues, that come over and take a look at RFK Jr. Take a look at what he says about abortion and how he's going to help bring down the number of abortions. And just look at these guys and ask, really, I mean, I know you're loyal to your party, but is Trump really worth it? Is this new Republican Party really the Republican Party that you've always voted for? Because it's not.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty frightening. I mean, it just feels like it's moving more and more to the left. It's getting watered down. And it's everything that we're supposed to stand for. You know, we're supposed to stand for values, not an individual, you know, and ideologies, not just an individual who has a great personality. So You know, with that being said, I do think that they seem like they are preparing to wheel out some replacement for Biden, because evidently this was the earliest debate in history for a presidential debate. They pushed it earlier. It's odd to me that all of these talking heads on CNN and, you know, people that were previously so pro Biden are now anti Biden pretty much. And there's all these articles lately about what, you know, is he too old? Is he fit enough? Maybe we should replace him. So it seems like they're getting ready to gear us up for a replacement. Who do you think, if possible? I mean, I know you don't believe that theory, but if you did, who do you think could be replaced? Is it, do you think it's Gavin Newsom? It can't be Kamala Harris. I can't imagine they would wheel her out again. I mean, they know that she's not very likable. Could it be Hillary Clinton? I mean, is there anyone that you think, Big Mike, that they might wheel out?
I mean, well, Michelle Obama.
I think they're really going to stand by Biden.
Would beat Trump. Yeah. Well, Michelle Obama would beat Trump hands down. And I'm sure there's as you can see within the Democrat Party, there's factions right now within the media, and then within the party, there's the Biden faction, and then the faction that wants him to step down. And to me, it's like with Biden, he can at this point step aside that this is my only term. He should have said that from the beginning. Now it's getting a little too late right now. I mean, everything's swinging in Trump's favor right now. But, you know, he should have said at the very beginning that this is going to be my only term. Like, that didn't make sense to me. Like, why he didn't just go in and say, look, I'm going to be a one-term president.
Right.
He should have said that from it should have been part of his State of the Union. Or his part of his inauguration address was I'm 78. I'm going to be serving one term. And then the Democratic Party could have spent those years lining up and preparing whoever was going to take a spot. But as you can see, the Democratic Party is just as dysfunctional, if not more dysfunctional, than the Republican Party. And there are factions lining up that they know that Biden can't beat Trump. I mean, it's straight up like that. The most, the smartest thing for the Democratic Party to do would be to slide in Robert F. Kennedy Jr., okay? Who is an old school Democrat who believes in old school Democrat principles. And also, if you put it up, he put this out months ago, this Zogby poll that if RFK Jr. was running solely against Biden, he would win. If RFK Jr. was running solely against Donald Trump, RFK Jr. would win. So if the Democrat Party wants to beat Trump, which I wish they would, then their obvious choice would be to put in Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But they're not going to do that. And I'll tell you why. Because this Democratic Party would rather have 4 years of Trump, a man who is beholden to the deep state, beholden to the three-letter agencies. For God's sakes, the guy wants to build the FBI a new building. And they know that their corporate capture and their kleptocracy will not be hindered under Trump. So they know that they can they would much rather have four more years of Donald Trump then have 4 years of RFK Jr., who is going to attack and dismantle these agencies, which number in the 600 something, but nobody knows the exact.
So you think RFK is the real outsider? He's the real outsider.
I mean, you got to understand with this, Deanna, that we're not talking just in terms of Democrat versus Republican. There are Democrats and Republicans who are dedicated to protecting this fourth branch of government, as Mark Levin calls it. What Trump calls the deep state, the three-letter agencies that put out $300 billion last year of inappropriate funding, okay, comes out through these. The FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the CDC, all these three-letter agencies, And that's basically Washington, D.C. Incorporated. OK, that's like the business end of it. And that's what Republicans and Democrats both keep churning. OK, and that's what's the most important. Now, there's certain other things like the crypto and protecting the decentralization of crypto from happening, which is why a lot of these billionaires got behind Trump, because he's promising to not allow a central bank digital currency to happen, which DeSantis would have been a much better one for that. But basically, the both these parties, they're protecting this fourth branch of government. And they know that they might not like what Trump is going to do, everything he's going to do. They're not going to agree with it. They're going to be upset about some of it. But they know that he's no threat to the corporatists, to the corporate capture of government. And then while he may make some decisions that might set it back a little bit, he's not an actual threat to it. So they can live through four more years of him, much more than they could handle 4 years of Kennedy, because Kennedy's whole platform is dismantling this whole fourth branch of government, which, by the way, is why they're not going to let him on the debate stage, because, I mean, CNN, these cable news networks are all bought and paid for by Pfizer and by BlackRock and all the very people that Kennedy threatens.
Exactly. True. Well, we will, it's going to be a very, very interesting couple of months that we have to look forward to. A lot is going to happen. A lot may happen. Kind of scary, but we'll see what happens. A lot of fraud, I'm sure, is going to happen too, and shady stuff. Chris Nelson, always great to get your insights. Tell everybody, of course, where they can find you, follow you, and check out your mayoral campaign as well.
Yes. Well, I am running for Fort Lauderdale mayor right now. Fort Lauderdale is a very heavily Democrat district, but I know that I do have appeal among across all aisles, Democrat, Republican, independent, and we've got to stop their agenda for cities, which is to destroy our green spaces. And these are people that cry about climate change, but they want to destroy our green spaces. They want to overdevelop. And they want to allow homeless to just basically go wherever they want. So my goal is to is to make sure that does not happen in Fort Lauderdale, and to make sure that we don't go down that path that other cities have gone. And if you want to help my campaign or check me out, you can go to ChrisNelsonForMayor.com. That's ChrisNelsonForMayor.com.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much, Chris Nelson. We'll be back right after these very brief messages. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, guys. Do you often feel like you've got low energy and you just really want to give your energy a boost that's sustainable all day long? Well, this awesome new product I've been taking, Energy Renew, gives you that kick you need to keep going all day long with no more midday slumps. Plus, it helps you stay on track with your weight loss goals and burn fat way more effectively. Say goodbye to brain fog. Energy Renew keeps your mind sharp and focused so that you can tackle whatever the day throws at you. And who doesn't like that youthful, beautiful glow? Energy Renew not only boosts your energy, but also helps your skin look and feel amazing. Packed with powerful nutrients like tributrin and sun fiber, it is the ultimate energy booster. Go to DeannaEnergy.com to learn more about this amazing product and get yours today. Go to DeannaEnergy.com, that's D-E-A-N-N-A, Energy.com right now to see how this product changes your life.
Second thing we can do is drink water. I mean, you hear me talk about hydrogen water all the time with our little bottles.
Yes.
We have to have water to live. Our bodies are 65% water, just like the earth is. Go figure.
Right.
Wow. Does that not give you chills right there to think about?
Totally. Yeah.
When we drink that water, if we can bring hydrogen in there, it can reduce inflammation. It can reduce free radicals, and it can bring calm and peace to the cells. So I don't know how better we can get than those two tips. And we need that more today. Dan, if we're stuck and just locked into what's next in the news, it's going to lock us in all right. It's like locking into self-imposed prison.
100%. And you have an incredible water hydration device as well that we can talk about real quick. I know that you probably have it on your desk right now.
I drink this every day. This is, you know, forgive me for sounding like an infomercial, but this is the truth, man.
Yeah.
It's on my desk, you know, even before we came alive. I put water in here about 5 minutes ago, pushed the button, and this little chamber that's via electrolysis creates hydrogen in here. And I'll push the button one more time so people can see that. Really cool.
So cool.
You can see it. It puts little bubbles in there. Really neat like that. And when I'll turn it off and show you when I pull the lid off, you can hear a little pressure, and I just drink the water.
Yeah, you don't want to be just drinking tap water. I mean, you want to be, not all water is created equal, right? I mean, of course, we want to be hydrating with lots and lots of water as one of your tips, but not all water is necessarily created equal.
No, get your water filtered. You know, reverse osmosis is my favorite. There's a lot of little portable filters one can do from a hardware store to put on your fountain and or on your pitchers in your house. Or you can get an indoor filter system, works pretty good. We have one. Or you can buy filtered water too.
Mm-hmm.
But the cool thing about this is when I drink this, it reduces not just the inflammation of the free radicals, but it can make my cells respond in a younger manner. Cheers to being younger, older, I guess, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's really important to really, you got yours too. It's important to do the right things that are simple.
I'm
a big believer in the KISS principle, keep it simple, silly, you know?
Yes.
And what we talked about is learning to redefine stress, understand the addiction of stress, getting outside, getting away from it all, and then filling your body with the water, which is life.
Welcome back to Shots Fired. Well, we all know that the deep state elites, globalists, have a massive agenda. And one part of that massive agenda is population control. In fact, it is written even on the Georgia Guidestones that they want to bring our population down to 600 million. And we are a population of billions right now. They and all the transhumanists out there say that it's better for the planet if we have no children at all or less children. And they want to make sure that we start cutting people off little by little and in different various nefarious ways through abortion, through vaccines and the bioweapon, through the transgender and gay agenda, and through, of course, even suppressing or attacking men and women, and especially our testosterone. Now, this is really interesting. There is a new study that has just come out that's revealed that a lower testosterone in men actually leads to premature death, kind of like killing two birds in one stone or two men in one stone. So not only are they, the deep state, et cetera, working very hard on suppressing our testosterone, lowering men's testosterone, which is bad enough as far as population control and maintaining a fruitful existence, but also it actually leads to premature death, according to this study. We're bringing on one of our favorite doctors, of course, Dr. Mark Sherwood, who is an expert in fertility and everything, not only fertility, but is a naturopathic doctor. And he is a man of God. So he knows that we need to be fruitful and multiply. That's part of God's plan. And it is anti-God's plan to do things that deliberately suppress reproduction and our population. And of course, our birth rate. We've seen the birth rate plummet in the last decade. We've also seen the sperm count of men plummet, believe it or not, in the last decade, which is really interesting. Not only that, but also the strength of men has reduced. So apparently a 21-year-old male back in the 1950s was stronger than a 28-year-old male now, here, nowadays. Really crazy stuff. So when we say, oh, you know, men aren't men anymore, they're not very manly, there's literal facts and evidence behind those claims. So Dr. Mark Sherwood, it's always great to have you on to talk about this really important topic today of testosterone, and especially this new article and study that was revealed. Welcome to Shots Fired. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. And what an important subject it is. And Deanne, I echo what you said, that we're certainly seeing the femininity of our society become the norm. I mean, you know, from a 30,000 foot swath, you look at this and we're seeing men become more women or desiring to be women, and actually cutting things off. And then you see women are not sewing things on. So that, you know, is a sort of a general overall view there, but that is true. And it's not just a culturally confusing issue. It's actually physical as well.
So this article, I want to start with the study first and then, and, you know, talk about it, the repercussions in the broader sense. But this study basically revealed the fact that low testosterone in men can lead to premature death in men as well. That's like, that's crazy. Talk about evil.
Yeah, it's interesting. You look at the studies that look at the testosterone measures of men maybe 50 years ago, and you're going to see more than 50% higher than they are today, same age. And it's incredibly important to understand from our perspective, because my wife and I deal with this all the time, when men's and women's, for that matter, hormones get low, it is associated with more quicker death, because hormones really are important for communication in the body. Mm. They help and protect for brain, for heart, and for bone health. So all these things are very applicable to us. And we know if we can't move, we don't live. If our heart goes bad, we can't move. And if we lose our mind, we've already lost our life. So, you know, you see how that works. And hormones are really tied as well to immune health. Believe it or not, hormones presence, adequately at least, is tied to good adaptive immunity. So as you see this process go on, you see the decline of hormones, you see the decline of immunity, and people do die quicker.
That's so crazy. Lately, it seems like there's a push. I mean, when we were out of whack, our health was out of whack, or we were having sicknesses before, or just not really thriving, people would kind of give us different types of drugs or different types of diagnoses. But now it does seem like there's a trend, which is a good thing, I think, but a trend towards looking at your hormones, getting your hormones checked out, as that might be the root cause of a lot of your ailments.
It is. And in our viewpoint of the way people should be viewing their health, there's really a few areas that people should be looking at. The areas that we have control over, which would be our nutrition, sleep, stress management, and maybe movement / exercise. We need to understand our genetics. We've talked about that before. And you need to have your hormones checked out and optimized by experts, because hormones are like emails. So if we have a company and your head is your CEO and your various organ systems would maybe be divisions of your company, can you imagine not being able to, as a CEO, communicate with the various systems or divisions of your company? Poor communication is going to equal poor performance. And we know that poor performance of organ systems results in decline of health and certainly hastens mortality.
Okay, so when we look at testosterone as a whole, what do you think is causing this lower testosterone? And if it's related, the lower sperm count in men? Because apparently it's reduced 22% is what I've last seen. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I think 22% drop in testosterone in the last 20 years. That's really significant. So what do you think are the causes of this lower plummeting of testosterone?
I think it's tied to several things. I think it's tied, first of all, to the estrogenic or endocrine disrupting compounds in our diet and environment. And Deanna, they're everywhere. You look at processed foods today that are really in the production methods, utilizing things like Roundup that contains a chemical called atrazine that's a known endocrine disruptor. We looked at perfumes. We looked at clothing. We look at water. Sometimes our water supply doesn't have really all the birth control filtered out of it, that's given to little girls like candy and filtered out through our toilets, right? And
soy.
People eat these foods. Yeah, people eat these foods and they're bathing themselves literally in an estrogen bath. And so when you see that happening, and I think no one that's listening would disagree with this, we are seeing obesity at an earlier age show up in both little girls and little boys. And we're seeing more femininity in our society, and it's directly tied to our food supply. And you look at this also, I think the other end of that, we don't have a lot of male leadership today. I think male leadership is lacking, in my personal opinion. And I really think that male leadership is not a dominant one. It's a servanthood one. Mm. It's opening doors, saying, yes, ma'am, no, man. It's actually owning the idea of, you know, provider, protector, friend, you know, shield. That's the way I think it should be, you know. And then, yeah, exactly. You see this minimized today. And I think that the lack of manhood has yielded a culture where it's kind of forced ladies to have to step up and do the things that men should do. And not that that's knocking ladies at all, that's honoring them. But I think the most disrespectful thing you can do toward a lady is not be a man, you know, and it's a fascinating subject, but I think all that's combined to sort of lower the manliness that we have. And keep in mind too, when God made man, he made woman for man, but he made them become one. You cannot reproduce without a seed that's planted. The males carry the seed. They're the only ones that have the Y chromosome. Now, I honor the ladies because they are entrusted with the care, the nurturing, the just the blessing of giving birth to that wonderful miracle. But that can't happen without a male seed. So you see this thing that collides in all these areas, and it's disturbing, to say the least.
It is disturbing. And it's also, you know, we live in a generation of so many males being raised by single mothers, or even gays or transgenders now these days. So, you know, they don't have a strong, healthy, leadership-oriented male role model. So how are they going to learn that? You know, they might learn it on TV, which TV is full of males that look stupid. They try to make them look dumb. They try to make them look feminine. You know, there are so many things that right now that are anti-male, anti-masculinity, toxic masculinity. So unfortunately, these males grow up with no real strong male role model. So how are they going to learn? How are they going to learn to be a man? And then combined with all these outside influences that are directly lowering their testosterone, it really leads to this perfect storm of plummeting masculinity, plummeting manhood, plummeting testosterone, and sperm count. It's very diabolical.
And diabolical is probably an understatement, but that's a good word nonetheless, because really it's troubling me, because we talk about, as you said in your lead-in, the globalist desire is to shrink the population. That's well known. That's not hidden. That's been stated.
Yeah,
you know?
Public
so
knowledge.
Because of that, the best way to do that is to reduce the ability to reproduce. In other words, when you reduce the ability to reproduce, you take away the seed, thereby reproduction becomes impossible. You can't do it anymore. And so when you look at it like that, I mean, we're in a lot of trouble. You ask how we're supposed to learn. I think that if people are out there right now and looking for leadership, you find those people that you look at as, you know, honoring the, you know, the mantle of manhood, if you want to call it whatever, and you gravitate to what they do. You listen to what they say. You become disciples, if you will. You match and mimic their disciplines. And I got to tell you, you know, as a Christian person, I look at the life of Jesus, you know, you can read about his life through John, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, especially John, and you can see a man who walked in leadership. He was not afraid to challenge the culture. He was not afraid to stand up for people. Remember, he even stood up for the person that was being accused of adultery. Remember that?
Yeah.
He stood up for him, you know? And so you're talking about a dude that stood up for men. He stood up for women. He stood up for everybody.
Awesome.
And he carried that mantle all the way to the cross, and not to be over spiritual, but certainly that's manhood. Manhood is servanthood. Manhood is honor. Manhood is fighting in a war for a cause, you know? It's fighting for freedom. And we surely need this right now.
We really, really need it, because not that there's anything wrong with womanhood. It has its place. But if there's too much womanhood and not the manhood to balance it out, we get then toxic femininity, or toxic feminism. We need that balance. That's what's happening right now, I believe, with so many, you know, just women that are overrunning companies and, you know, working themselves to death in their 60s, but they've never had babies. So they feel a loss, and just a lot of this sort of toxic feminism coming out. I've seen, we need that manhood to balance it out. We need men to feel that they're needed, that they feel like their masculinity is thriving, that it's warranted, that it's thriving, that it's valued. It had its place back in the day. Men would go to war. They would build homes. They would hunt for their families. And now it just feels like not only is manhood not needed in our society, but it's also devalued. And that's caused just this whole host of problems. Like I said, and then combined with the lower testosterone that we're seeing in boys and men. And probably you're seeing that a lot in your practice, I would imagine too, that the culprit for a lot of males' issues is a lower testosterone, right?
I do see that. And I see that when you don't have enough testosterone, you don't exercise, you can't put on muscle, you can't maintain muscle, you put on weight, you become obese. The obesity or the extra adiposity or fat tissue in the frame actually is inflammatory, but it actually drives more estrogen creation. So the obesity crisis feeds right into them. And so it's a feed forward or feed backward cycle, however you want to look at it. And I see it all the time in our practice, which I like to refer to as we don't practice anything, we do it, right? But it's funny because I see men in their 30s very commonly that have testosterone in the 200 or 300s, which is shocking when they should be up there 700, 800, 900. And I see that over and over again. And interestingly enough, I see it in athletes too, because athletes work so hard and drain their system out. So it's not just inactivity. Sometimes it can be overactivity that drives it down. Mm. And it's sad because the testosterone is what makes manhood, you know, and it's not trying to have more. It's trying to have the right amount. It's a hormone that communicates. I look at hormones just like I said earlier, like emails. It is an email. Now, women have testosterone too, believe it or not, just a little bit less. And it's fascinating because, interestingly enough, testosterone in men converts downstream to estradiol.
Oh,
estradiol in men is protective against brain and heart disease. So you see, as testosterone goes down, we lose estradiol production as well. And then that also leads us to having more brain or heart disease. And men are doing quite well, not in a good way, of leading in heart disease.
Wow, that's crazy and really, really sad and tragic. Now, just before we go, is there anything just quickly that you could mention that could increase a man's testosterone? Anything that they could do, that they can take? Besides, I guess, testosterone itself, the hormone.
Yeah, there's a lot of things they can do. They can exercise more, eat better, sleep better, rest better, de-stress more. And so, you know, those are important to do. You know, without question, those will help. I think also I like the mineral zinc a lot. There is some other herbs out there that work, like Shilajit, like LG50, like Tribulus terrestris. Those will work somewhat. Now, when a person needs a restart, you can sometimes use things like HCG or human chorionic gonadotropin as an injectable. Sometimes that will stimulate the testes to produce again. Sometimes you can use that Clomid or Clomiphene to start things off again, which will not interfere with reproduction health. So
That's good.
These things are really a good place to start.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Sherwood, as usual, always enlightening and inspiring and getting everybody to be their best and healthiest self. Tell everybody, of course, where they can find you and follow you.
Well, they need to go to sherwood.tv/shots, because when people listen to us right here, it's important. I want to know where they came from, and I want to know what they've heard, because if I know they listen to your show, I know what kind of information they've been exposed to, and it helps me help them. And so I really encourage people to, if you're struggling with these issues, reach out to someone. If you want to reach out to us, that's great. But reach out to someone that can help you, and don't just think there's nothing that can be done, because everything can be done with anything. You just got to have the people around you that believe in that.
Amen. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much, Dr. Sherwood. We appreciate you so much. Guys, we will be right back right after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining Shots Fired. That's all we've got for today. Thanks so much for joining. And remember, twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern time, right after the Stu Peters Show. So set your reminders now so you don't forget. And in the meantime, follow us on social media, especially Gab, Telegram, Truth Social, and Getter at Real Deanna Lorraine, and on X for all the latest and controversial posts, Deanna, for Congress. And special shout out to my chat room. Thanks for always keeping it positive and patriotic. We love you. And definitely support my show, Shots Fired. Make sure it stays on the network by going to my sponsors. Go to goldco.com/shots. Tell them Deanna sent you. And especially check out my sponsor, one of my favorite doctors, naturopathic doctors, Dr. Sherwood. Go to sherwood.tv/shots to see an array of their naturopathic, holistic medicines, their supplements and their vitamins, especially Kingdom Fuel. And enter promo code SHOTS to get 30% off of all their supplements, vitamins, and their coaching services. Really cool stuff. Go to sherwood.tv/shots, as well as the other links in my description in the Rumble description. All right, guys, thank you so much. I love you, and I will see you Thursday. God bless you, and God bless America. See you Thursday.